about Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney. All about Ask Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Good morning to you. And if you're listening on Sunday night on several of the stations that recarry the program, this is a replay. The live show is Saturday morning at 8, and if you have a legal question, phone lines are open. Hey, and your question can be just about anything. It can be about wills, trusts, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, health care surrogates, living wills. Can be about family law. It can be about real estate, anything in the world of real estate. Can be personal injury. Can be about just about any area of law if you have a legal question. I'm here to help as many people as I can during my 50 minutes of straight, no commercial activity here on Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. The longest running continual program in Florida, I believe. We started the show in 1984. I was the host, same format. You call in with legal questions. I help you if I can. Our conversation helps a lot of other listeners. And that's the goal of today, is to help as many people as I possibly can. We're in about 15 stations around Florida with Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We're broadcasting today from Jacksonville. We broadcast every other week from Tampa and every other week from Jacksonville. It's pretty much our schedule. We have offices in all of the locations. You can probably hear the local station. We have office locations. All right, phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673 if you have a legal question. Meeting with a client today that has some, you can have bonds. And on bonds, you can have sometimes you can have beneficiaries. But what happens if the beneficiary that you have named, possibly your spouse, possibly someone else, is deceased, and there is no beneficiary? Well, guess what? That has to go through a probate proceeding. Probate is the legal process of getting assets out of a deceased person's name. Now, some people come in and they have a deed. Let's say their spouse passed away and they had a deed with right of survivorship. I had a case yesterday where there were four names on a deed, all with right of survivorship. There was parents and two children, four names. Magic words after the four names are right of survivorship. If one of them die, there would be three owners, just automatically. A death certificate takes the name off. If a person dies with no right of survivorship on the deed, the would have to go through probate. So the question is, sometimes do you put a child's name on a deed? Generally, the answer is no, because if you put a child's name on a deed, that's a gift. Then you would need the child's permission to sell it. If the child died, depending on the wording on the deed, if it doesn't say right of survivorship, it could be tenants in common, and then the deceased person's share has to go through probate. All points for you to review your ownership of assets and how they're titled, because what happens to them when you die depends on the magic words of how the account is titled. Let's go to Gary in Sarasota. Hey, Gary.
Hi. I have a friend that just her grandma died or something or another. Anyway, she says that the will left her everything, and that it was recorded, and she's saying that her in-laws or whatever relatives have changed it and taken her out off of that will as being the person that received everything. Is that possible, or she mixed up and the will wasn't recorded, or what have you?
Well, several things. The last will is the last will, so if there was a later will, then that would have revoked the prior will. So, I mean,
right.
I thought if a
okay.
person made a will today, that revokes the will they made yesterday. Also, a will
okay.
doesn't always control the assets because it depends on how the assets are titled. I've seen many cases where a will says, I leave everything to my three children, and one of the children come in and said, hey, I didn't get anything. What happened? And then you do a little investigation. Well, the parent owned all of their assets jointly with one of the other children, and because the account was joint with right of survivorship, like a banking, checking, CD, money market account, and had another child's name on it, that child got everything regardless of what the will said, because the will only deals with what's in a deceased person's name alone without a beneficiary or jointly held. So when a person comes in and say, hey, I didn't get anything, the will says three equal shares, what happened? What happened was there was nothing in just the deceased person's name without a beneficiary or jointly held.
All right. But let's for the question of if it was recorded and this lady was the recipient or whatever the term is of getting everything, is it possible that her in-laws could have switched it on her? Because she's a younger lady, and the others are all older and established with their grandmas. You know, either.
Yeah.
I don't believe there are.
Well, you can't change.
I don't believe any of them are actual.
You can't change a person's will after they pass away.
Okay. Well,
so, I mean,
that's what I told. Oh, and the other issue is, as far as vehicles are concerned, I think you told me one other time that they don't go through probate, or how is that handled?
Usually the personal representative can take the will, a copy of the will, receipt that has been filed with the court, a death certificate, and the personal representative a lot of times can transfer the car without a probate proceeding, particularly if that's the only asset in the estate. And basically the will, basically the Division of Motor Vehicles has a form, a power of attorney form. They get the other beneficiaries to sign and consent to the transfer.
All right. Okay. So in other words, well, the answer is they couldn't just slip in there and change it on her.
No, they can't they can't change a deceased person's will. But what happens to the assets depends on how the assets were titled, though.
Right. Okay. Well, but as far as the will's concerned, they can't change it. And in addition, is the vehicle, she can take her death certificate and a copy to the DMV and clear that.
She should be able to, yes. Yes, sir.
All righty, great. Thank you for telling me that.
Thank you.
I'll forward it.
All right,
sure.
Thank you. Uh-huh. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Let's go to Karen in Davenport.
Good morning.
Hey, can you cut your radio off in the background, please?
No, sure.
All right, what can I do for you, Karen?
Good morning, Mr. Pippin.
Good morning.
You've done a trust for me, and I am wanting to purchase a piece of property. But, you know, I actually didn't do anything with that trust, and now I need to place that parcel that I want to purchase in the trust. How do I go about doing that?
Is it a Florida piece of property?
Yes.
Well, generally, you could come in to see me. Since I did your trust, I would do what's called a quitclaim deed, just like I probably did on one of your existing properties, from you to you as trustee of your trust.
So do I purchase that? It's not yet purchased. So that's the question I wanted to find out. I mean, do we do two transaction purchase
name
first?
You can buy it in the name of the trust.
Okay.
You can buy it in your name, trustee, and the date of the trust. You can purchase it that way. If you already have a contract, though, if you already have a contract and the contract, the purchaser was you personally, the title of the closing company may or may not change that. If they don't want to change it without going through a lot of modification of contract and all that type of thing, then you can just go ahead and buy it in your name, and then I can do the quitclaim deed for you. So either way, you can do it.
Right, but I was supposed to do something with that trust that I hadn't done, and I don't recall what I was supposed to do. So once you get the trust registered, correct?
Once you sign a trust, you have the rest of your life to put things in and take things out. I call it like a bucket. So you can transfer items to your trust at any time. You can take assets out of your trust at any time.
Right. I guess what I'm asking is I was supposed to do something with that trust once it was formed, right? But I didn't do anything.
Well, I gave you the answer, though. The answer is once the trust is formed, you have to fund the trust by putting assets, by the way you title assets into the trust.
I see.
So it's just called funding the trust is what you do after the trust is created.
Okay, so they can put it directly in, or I can purchase it in my name, and we'll do a quick claim deed to put it in the trust.
Yeah, you can purchase it in the name of the trust, and if they don't and you take it in your name, then I could do the quit claim deed for you.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, Karen.
I will contact your office shortly.
Okay, Karen, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, listening to a live show on Saturday morning from 8:02 to about 8:52. No commercials, straight through. If you have a legal question, the purpose of the show is just to help you if I can and answer your question, which hopefully helps a lot other people who are also listening to the show. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Let's go to Mark in Tampa.
Hello.
Hey, Mark.
Joe?
Yes.
Yes. Nice to hear you. I listen to your show every Saturday.
Great.
You've taught me a lot of different things. I have an authorization to disclose health information notice that I was sent to. I was in an accident, and the accident was not my fault. The other person was ticketed, and I've never done this before, and I'm just concerned about signing something. I acknowledge and hereby consent to such that the release information may contain alcohol, drugs, psychiatric, HIV, AIDS information, and that they want me to initial that. And I have no problem with that, but I don't know, is this a usual procedure for an accident lawyer to send out?
All right, so who caused the accident?
The other person. The other person was ticketed.
And the other person had an attorney that now is asking you questions?
No. This is my attorney. My attorney. You see, the accident caused me to have my car totaled.
Okay.
And I have to pay out of my pocket to get another car. This is the only reason I'm doing this. Otherwise, I never would do so. I've never done anything like this.
I see. Well, if it's your attorney asking for the information, he's doing it to protect you and have full knowledge of the whole incident. So if it's your attorney, I'd go ahead and, you know, fill it out.
Okay, but this is like more than a year afterwards, and I was concerned if it was the, you know, the normal procedure, and it sounds like it is.
Yeah, I would say that it is. Yes, sir.
Okay. One other thing, Joe, and I'll let you go. I found out by accident that there were points on my license put at the motor vehicle from this accident. And it was a lot of aggravation. Police report I had to go back and get. My insurance company was kept raising my insurance. And the motor vehicle company was the worst of all. When I went and I got my turn, and the girl puts on the computer and says, "No, you have no points on your license at all. I said, can I speak to your supervisor, please?" The supervisor goes in the corner and talks with the girl and comes back, and she puts my information in. Now she comes up. She comes up with something. And I asked her, I said, how did this get on here? I said, because here's the police report, here's my insurance company. And it took her maybe 5 minutes to admit, well, this had to come from the court. Does that sound correct to you? I never went to court. I never had to.
Well, you must have gotten a ticket also.
No, I did not. That's okay. The whole thing.
Well, listen, here's what I would not. Do. Okay, so I don't know. Is your attorney that you have a personal injury attorney?
Yes. Well, this is somebody. Yeah, I hired my chiropractor.
Ask them to go to DMV and to print out your driving record. And to that you're telling me you're interested in seeing if what the printout's going to show any points. And you don't think any should be any points from the accident that he's helping you with. And then if there is, let him deal with DMV to get the points removed if it's unjust.
Well, as far as I know right now, because a woman in a motor vehicle told me, because I showed her my information, she says, yeah, that's not supposed to be there. She said that will be off shortly.
All right, we'll go back to DMV and have them reprint a report for you that shows your driving history, points, and so forth, and just make sure you have a written copy with no points.
I could do that, yes. Have you heard of this before? It just had to happen to others before?
Well, DMV, of course, like any other government agency, is going to make mistakes, so it doesn't surprise me that a mistake was made. So you get it corrected, you'll be fine.
Okay. Thank you, Joe.
All right.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Let's go to John and Holiday.
Hello.
Hey, John.
Hey. I'm on SSI disability, and I've been living in a home that's owned by my sister, and she's 14 years older than I am, and she's wanting to turn the house over to me, in full, because she's, getting up in age and had a couple strokes. And I'm wondering what would happen to my SSI disability if I, have a house,
a home. A homestead that you live in, I mean, she dies, you have a home, that you declare that your homestead, is not a non-countable asset that would interfere with any Social Security disability.
Okay, so I can have her, turn the title on the home over to me?
Yes, sir. Upon death, she could leave that to you in her will or whatever. Yes, sir.
Okay, but she's wanting to do it while she's alive, so her daughter don't get involved in it.
Well, if I were representing her, which I'm not, I'm talking to you, but I would tell her probably not to make a gift while she's living and just leave it to you. You could do a trust or something and leave it to you with no hassle upon death. If she gives it to you now, she's going to have to get it appraised, and there has to be a gift tax return filed because it's a gift of more than $15,000. It's going to be, and it would not get the stepped-up cost basis like it would upon death. So if I were representing her, I would tell her to leave it to you in her estate.
Okay.
All right, John?
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, you have a good day. Let's go to Shelley in Jacksonville.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great, Shelley, and you?
I'm doing fine. I have a simple question. I have a neighbor that, for some reason, seems to want to throw stuff in my yard. And just recently, I caught him in my backyard near the windows. And I'm just concerned. There's a lot of stuff going on around my house now, and I think it's related to this neighbor. What's my course of action to keep him out of my yard?
Well, a couple of things come to mind. One is you could set up a camera down the property line.
I've got three of them.
All right. If you catch him, he what now?
They buffer when he's around, so he's got something that buffers the Wi-Fi cameras.
Really? Well, that's disturbing. Do you have any witnesses to his activity?
No, because it's usually around 3 or 4 in the morning because my dog goes crazy in the house. And I hear noise outside, and that's when I turn my cameras or start looking at my cameras on my phone, and they're in buffer mode. And this never happens during the day. I mean, I can always see around my house, even when I'm at work. But at night, right when I'm hearing the noise and I'm turning the cameras on, they're buffer. no, I cannot see anything. I just see it in the morning where he's got either a mess on my car or he's got trash around the house.
All right, so when you get up, if you by chance get up, your dog starts barking, you get up, does your cell phone have a camera?
Yes, it does.
So I doubt that would be buffered, but, you know, it could be. And if it could be, then you go to one of these stores that sells security equipment and stuff like that and ask them how to debuffer his whatever he's using. And at least get a cell phone or something where you could take a picture of him. And as soon as the dogs start barking, you look outside and he's in your yard, I'd definitely call the police. I mean, that's trespassing. And the other answer is to send him a certified letter saying, I've observed you in my yard at night. I consider that trespassing. I believe you have a device to... I mean, you could have somebody look at your cameras, and maybe there's something you could do with that to rectify that as well. And maybe you could put a camera over on the other side of the yard at a fence, you know, not down your fence line where he's the problem, and put it over on the other side of the yard that shoots the whole yard. Maybe he couldn't buffer something that far away.
Oh, that's another good idea. Well, you come up with two good ideas.
All right. Well, very good. I hope that helps. And I hope he gets caught.
Thank you.
I hope he gets caught because, you know, that's just, he's got emotional problems of some type from what it sounds like. Not hearing his side, just hearing you, it sounds like he's got a big problem. So you need to take care of it.
Well, I'll tell the neighbors, too, because they're having the same problem.
Yeah, well, they can put up cameras that shoot toward his fence from their yard. Definitely. And I'm sure there's some debuffer device you can get for your camera, I would think, if you talk to an expert. And, hey, you know, we might have a caller that knows the answer to that better than I do. I mean, I invite them to call and help me out and help you out, too. All right, Shelley.
I so appreciate that.
My pleasure. You take care. All right, so we are broadcasting today from Jacksonville. We have offices. I have offices here in Ponte Vedra, Jacksonville. And I do. I have an active practice in Jacksonville as well. Our headquarters office is in Pinellas County. We have several offices in Pinellas, Polk, Hillsboro. I have an active schedule every week going to all of those places I just mentioned. And then we have several other offices with other attorneys around Florida, Central Florida. We have offices in Claremont, Leesburg, The Villages, Trinity, Lakewood Ranch, Lakeland, Davenport, St. Augustine up to Ponte Vedra have office locations where we can use. And if you have a legal question or you would like to set up a meeting to review estate planning documents, love to help you with that. You can call our toll-free number, 1-800-226-3529. Some of our first appointments are telephonically, so we can interview you on the phone just like an in-person visit and send you drafts of documents you might be interested in. If you'd like to do that, then again, our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. Let's go to Terry in Palmetto. All right,
hello?
Terry, can you cut your radio off in the background?
Yes.
All right, very good. What can I do for you?
Turn it off. I don't know if this question was already asked. I have a home. I have a mortgage on it. If I should, and I'm 70, if I should die, I have three boys, what I have to do?
Well, you can leave your home to your three, did you say three sons?
Yes.
Well, you can, your will or trust can leave your property, your home, to your three sons, and you appoint somebody to be the personal representative or trustee of whatever estate plan you create, and you leave it to them. Well, whoever you leave it, whoever you put in charge could sell it, and of course the mortgage would be paid off, and then they would split the equity. If one of them wanted to take it as their share of the estate, then the personal representative can orchestrate the transfer to them. And then let's say you had a $300,000 total estate, and you had a $100,000 home, and you had $200,000 cash. So one could take the home as their share, and the other two could get $100,000 each in the cash. I mean, they're all kind of different approaches to handling an estate. But the fact you have a mortgage doesn't really complicate things. If the property were sold, it would just be subject to the mortgage. Of course, the mortgage would be paid off during the sale, and the heirs would split the equity.
Okay. Yes, I guess I need to finish up and do that, because I do have the other. Oh, what am I trying to say? To make decisions for me if I'm not able to.
Yeah, the power of attorney.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, power of attorney, healthcare surrogate. Yeah. Well,
yes,
basically,
have
you have a choice between a will or a trust on your estate plan. If you do a will, they'd be subject to some probate fees. If you do a trust and have your home in the trust and other assets in the trust, you can avoid probate. So,
Okay, that's what I want to do, is avoid probate.
Yeah, we have an office, by the way, in Sun City Center area.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Which is adjoining Palmetto, so.
Oh, yeah, I know where that's at. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Right.
I appreciate your help.
All right, Terry. My pleasure. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We're past the halfway point in the show. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. You're listening to Ask an Attorney. We're broadcasting from Jacksonville today. Our flagship station, I call it, is in Tampa. That's the Salem family of stations carry the program, 570-910-860-930. And most of those have FM components that also carry the program. Sun City Center, 96.3 FM. And they, 96.3 FM and 570 carry replay, 570-910, replay the Saturday morning live show on Sunday at 5 p.m. So, for example, if you hear something you'd really like someone else to hear, and you've been telling them and they don't believe you, hey, you could get them to listen to the replay on Sunday at 5 and share the information. Also, 90.3 FM coming out of Haines City, Florida, central part of Florida, big radius of miles around that station in central Florida. Here in Jacksonville, WBOB 600 AM, The Answer. In Clearwater, WTAN also carries the program. And I probably missed a few, so sometimes I'll circle back and think of who I've missed that carry the program. But you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law, host of the show since 1984, continually for 37 years. It's the longest running show in Florida that I know of with the same host, same format. It's nationally syndicated for a couple of years. We're in like 39 states and 80-some cities, carried the Ask an Attorney, the national show. And if you'd like more information, we have a website, www.attypip.com. Let's go to Joe in Jacksonville.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Appreciate you.
Well, my pleasure.
I have a question. Yes, sir. I got a divorce several years ago, back in the 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And in the decree, I was awarded the house, or I'm allowed to stay there until I decide to sell. She gets half of the sale price.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, it didn't say anything that I couldn't move the mobile home. It's a mobile home. And I bought another piece of lot. I was wondering if I legally can move it to my other lot and live in it. I'm not selling, still living in it, so.
Well, let me ask you this. Would have you asked her if she would object to if you moved it?
I'm sure she would. I'm not in talking terms with her.
I see. Well, I think an attorney would have to look at your divorce papers and what the actual agreement was. On the face of the question, without any other information, I would think you probably have the. Do you own the lot underneath of it?
Yes.
Do you rent?
We bought the lot. We bought the lot in mobile home that I'm living in now. Whenever we were married, okay. I bought another piece of lot after I was divorced. All right. In the divorce decree, it says she gets half of the proceeds whenever he decides to sell. Right, she moved out. I stayed in, raised the kids. My kids are grown now. So now I would like to move the mobile home to my other lot that I bought and live in it there.
Okay.
And if I ever do this.
Okay, what are you going to do with the lot that the mobile home sits on now?
I'll probably rent it. Because it didn't say anything I couldn't rent. Anything. That's all it said. She drew it up, her and a girlfriend drew up the divorce decree herself. So it's very vague. So that's all what it said. She gets half once he decides to sell. So if I do not decide to sell, it didn't say I couldn't do anything else with it. It's signed by a judge already, so it's been done.
Okay, so, well, you know, I'm just thinking if I were her and you did that, I would petition the court making you sell the property where you have vacated pretty much. If I were her, I would make you sell that and take half the proceeds. That's what I would do if I were her.
Okay.
Whether you have the right to move the home and still live in it, you know, I would say that's... A good chance you do, but you know, if I were her, I probably wouldn't be happy about that, and I wouldn't be happy that lot's going to sit there vacant and you're going to rent it, and I would probably petition the court to modify the agreement and force to do a partition sale to make you sell the property so she could get half the proceeds. That's what I would do if I were her.
Okay.
Just to answer your question.
Okay, so yeah, basically you answered it, because one of my questions was going to be, once it's been judged on, can they go back and change it? But you said, what you just said is she can bring it back to court and have the judge modify it and make me do whatever.
Yeah, I'm sure the whatever y'all signed didn't anticipate you'd be just moving the whole mobile home and sell and renting the land. You know what I would do, though, if I were you, I think? If I were you, I would have an attorney, since you don't communicate with her, I'd have an attorney write her a letter outlining what you plan on doing and giving her some notice of that. And if you can think of something to do for her where she might benefit a little bit or receive a little something in this change of circumstances, you know, if you could offer her something, that would probably sweeten the deal, and maybe she'd just agree.
Yeah, I understand. I'm not here to sweeten her deal. but I understand what you're saying, though.
Would the lot sell for?
How much would the lot sell for?
Yes,
about $30,000.
Offer to buy it for $10,000. I mean, half would be 15. Offer to buy the lot for 10. Did you have 10 you could give her?
Yeah.
Well, then you'd own it. You'd own it for a deal. I mean, if it could sell for 30 and she would get 15, offer her 10 now. Offer her 5. Offer her something.
Let me ask you this scenario. What if I move it, and then she takes me to court? I couldn't get in trouble. I just have to abide by whatever the judge on, correct?
Yeah, the judge would say all this was a change of circumstances. I mean, I'd have to see what was signed.
Right.
But I think you're just stirring something up and causing a possible problem when you get an attorney to write her a letter, offer $5,000 and tell her you're going to move the property, you know, offer her something. And maybe just close the whole thing up.
Yeah. You don't know this lady, but okay, I appreciate your advice there, sir.
All right, Joe. Good luck to you. Let's go to Mary in Bradenton.
Good morning, Joe. Thank you for your program. I really appreciate it.
Well, my pleasure.
I have a situation. You were talking about probate earlier in the program. I have a situation where I have a next-door neighbor who passed away in November. And I'm trying to assist his widow, but he passed away, no will. His widow basically has no money. There are no assets in the estate other than the home and a car, which is partially paid for, but the finance company is involved. The house has a mortgage on it, and probably the equity in the house, given the condition it's in and the size of the mortgage, would be about, I don't know, $30,000 maybe. He has several children who also don't have much money. And my question is there any kind of pressure? I don't think anybody can afford the probate, and I don't think there's enough assets for any one person to get the money together to pay an attorney to initiate a probate. So with no will or anything, is that just going to sit in limbo until the finance company repossesses the house or she passes away? I understand she can continue to live in the house as long as she can make the mortgage payments for her life. But I'm just wondering what happens in that kind of a situation.
Well, okay, so nobody has the money to pay the mortgage payment or the taxes on the property?
They had turned off all the utilities and so on. I think with her stimulus check, she's able to get the utilities turned back on, and I think she's going to try and live in the house. But her family is, you know, the daughter would like to have the house. But, again, there's no way that, I mean, the title is other than the mortgage company repossessed.
Yeah. All right, so the title is in the deceased husband's name by himself?
The title was in the deceased, yes.
Okay. Well, listen, you can probably find, if the property everybody wants to sell the property, you can probably find an attorney to take his fee from the sale proceeds.
Okay, so, but my question is there any, in terms of probate, is there any, if it never goes to probate, she dies, the mortgage company repossesses the house, and that's the end of it.
If it never goes to probate, if nobody's going to pay the mortgage or taxes, eventually you'd lose it through foreclosure or tax sale.
Exactly. Right. Okay. But there's nothing in the event of no will.
Everyone has a will.
Anyway.
No, everyone has a will, whether they sign one or not. The state makes a will for a person who doesn't have one. So it's a statutory will. So basically, if there's a widow, she'd have the right to live in the house for life, and then upon her death, it would go to his children through a statutory probate proceeding.
Okay.
So if they want to start a probate now, the widow or the children as an interested party could start a probate proceeding, have an attorney. If there's no money on the table and the house is going to be sold, you can find an attorney. I mean, we've done this before for people. We'd take our fee from the proceeds of the sale.
But as long as she wants to continue living there, then nobody can force her out
Delinquent. Yeah, unless you can show that she's delinquent on the mortgage or taxes and it's going to be lost, the remainder beneficiaries can take some action.
Right, and I've already told her that. So, I just wondered about the whole probate thing, and I assumed was right, but I'm glad to hear it from an attorney. So
All right.
Pass that on to her. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. Let's go to Jim in Jacksonville.
Good morning.
Hey, Jim.
I was wondering, I have a trust set up for my daughter, and she's had some large medical bills, which I've had to withdraw some of the money from I have a brokerage account to help her pay for these large medical bills.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find since I've paid taxes on this money to put it in to a trust account for her, am I going to have to pay taxes every time to take the money out for her benefit?
Well, there's just income tax. If you give her more than $15,000 you can per year, or is that going to happen, you think?
Well, I don't think, I hope not. What I'm going to do, I guess, is just go ahead and pay, just give her the money and whatever the tax consequences are.
Well, there's no income tax involved in you giving her money.
Okay.
The tax, okay, well, if you give her more than $15,000, although there's probably an exception for medical payments, then you fill out a gift tax return saying that you gave her $30,000. You didn't have to report $15,000 of it, but the $15,000 you're reporting reduces your lifetime exemption. No taxes are due, and you can reduce your lifetime exemption by $15,000. Your lifetime exemption right now is $11.7 million without paying a tax. So,
okay.
So I really don't think is going to cause you an out of a tax problem.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, what I'm trying to avoid is she has some insurance and it's paid a certain amount. Of course, she's obligated to pay the balance. And because the bills are so large, because it's like a cancer situation, excuse me, she's gone back to the hospital to try to negotiate to get just some of it reduced so she can pay the balance off. And what I'm going to do is give her that money so that she is not put in such a stress on top of having a medical issue to avoid, having a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And if I just give her the money, I take the money, let's put it this way, and then I dispose of the money any way I want to dispose of the money, is there going to be a tax issue to that?
It's not an income tax to her, and as long as you, if you give away more than $15,000, minus whatever the medical exceptions might be, you file a gift tax return. The only tax would be if you cashed out a retirement account where the income tax hadn't been paid. There'd be income tax to you, not her.
Yeah. Okay.
Things like that.
But I basically have use of the money.
This is your trust, your revocable trust, uses your tax number. You own it, you control it, and do whatever you want to with your money and your trust, correct?
Correct.
It's not income to her, whatever you give her. It's not income to her, and you just have to, we have to figure out if there's a gift tax return that's required, and then you can use up your lifetime exemption, still not have to pay a tax. So the only possible way I think it would be a tax would be you might have to pay a tax if you try to go into a retirement account and take money out early to, there might be an early penalty or an income tax on money you take out of money that's never been taxed. But if you've already paid the tax once and you have it sitting in your trust, you can do whatever you want to with it.
Okay, very good. Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, Jim. Thanks. Hey, you're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. We have about 7 minutes left in the show. If you have a legal question, the phone lines are open just for you at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. If you have a legal question, I'd love to help you. If you'd like to contact our office, if you'd like to make an appointment or have something reviewed, or maybe have a private question you don't want to ask on the radio. By the way, you don't even have to use your correct name when you call in. Who's going to know? And it doesn't make any difference to me. But anyway, so if you'd like to email me, you could email me your question or just a request for an appointment or maybe a request for a phone appointment. You can email me at Joe, J-O-E, at A-T-T-Y. PIP.com. That's just the abbreviation for attorney, ATTY. First three letters of my last name, PIP. So if you have an email question Or if you'd like to make an appointment, you can email me at joe@attypip.com. If you'd prefer to call the office to set up an appointment of any type, phone or in person, we have a toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. And you go to extension 200 for that, and be glad to get back with you as soon as we can. Let's go to Ken in Clearwater. Hey, Ken.
Hey. Say, I have a mother that's in Arizona, and we're moving her from one assisted living to another one, and we're moving her to Florida. And she has a home and two cars. Now, if we do a quick claims deed on a house, what can we do with the cars?
Quick claim deed from who to who?
To us kids, so we can sell the home, because we have the home we'll have to put up for sale.
Well, I'd be a little careful of that, because if she gives it to you, that's a gift. If she would go into a nursing home, there's a 5-year look-back period of disqualification for Medicaid. So you can sell the property with her giving you a power of attorney as opposed to a gift.
Okay.
She can give you a power of attorney to sell the property. And it could be that, you know, if you were doing is she competent?
No, that's, well, she is competent, but she has a global amnesia, kind of like that in that movie, 50 Dates, where she recalls, she doesn't recall anything short-term, but she does recall stuff long-term, but it's... But everything else she's fine with.
Is she going to move to a nursing home here in Florida?
No, she's going to an assisted living here in Florida. Yeah. So
I would make sure she has a valid power of attorney to one or all three kids. And the power of attorneys that we do here in Florida, when she gets to Florida, she can do a power of attorney that allows for things to be moved around that qualify for Medicaid.
She has a trust, a living trust.
Okay. Well, she could resign as trustee of her trust. She would still own it and let someone else be the trustee.
Yeah, there is a trustee, and she did put all of us as power of attorney.
a power of attorney is a separate document.
Uh-huh.
No trust. I mean, they're separate documents.
Okay. So, in the case of the quick claim deed thing, if she's not getting Medicaid or she's not getting...
there's a 5-year look-back period if you try to do a deed, though.
Oh, it is?
Yes. So I wouldn't probably do a deed to the kids at this point. Hey, Ken, I'd be glad to talk to you off air about this if you want to call the office.
Sure.
All right. Let me go to my last caller here. Let's go to Jerry in Sarasota.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, Jerry, we have about a minute. So.
I hear these ads for people who say that your house title can be stolen by someone forging a quit claim deed.
Yes.
Is that simple to do? Did I worry about it?
You know, you can call your county, because we went over this last week. Some of the counties have alert systems. So call the county. If you can get it free from your county to alert you if there's any activity in your deed, I would do that. But Jerry, I can talk about that more next week. So thanks for calling, though, and I've got to go. You hear the music. Thank you for listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. You have a great, safe week. So long.